He had a great season last year offensively. Career numbers this year, by and away, better so far. So already, Alex, a 1.1 WAR on the season. WAR can be a complicated stat to understand. But he's on pace as a DH, as a designated hitter, to have an 8.5 WAR season, which is absolutely remarkable.
Fly ball onto the track. At the wall. It's gone. Home run.
Tom's on a ball. Deep right field. And gone.
What a game. What a moment. What is up, my friends? Welcome to Flippin' Bats. We're about, I don't know, 3 weeks or so into the season. Got a fun weekend of baseball coming up. Happy Friday, everyone. We got this week in Shohei Ohtani news today. We'll talk about everything he's done over the past week. We also have the top three most concerning teams so far from the 2024 season. And some flipping shout-outs to talk about in a little while. We have a fun show today. Big day, Alex. Big day. Justin making his season debut today. 6:45 Eastern, 3:45 Pacific.
So how are you feeling? Because we all know how Ben is on game days. Brother pitching game days. Almost more nervous than anything you do personally is watching him get on the mound.
Oh, way
And
more.
This is the debut.
Yeah,
so are
way
we confident?
More.
Have you talked to him? What's the vibe?
Yeah, I just want him to feel good. Yeah. You know, I don't know how long he's going to be able to go in his first start. I honestly don't care if he, you know, gives up a bunch of runs. Obviously, I'd rather him pitch well. I just want him to come out of it healthy, good to go.
That's fair.
So, yeah, I'm always more nervous for everything he does because I can't control the outcome of it. If I suck, I suck.
That's fair.
If I
go
on the field and we do a live post-game show and I can't spit a word out of my mouth, well, I did that to myself.
Yeah.
But if Justin goes out and doesn't throw well or something happens, that I can't control that. And that's where the nerves come from, is wanting him to do well and not having any control whatsoever besides exactly where I sit in the room, exactly what I say, exactly who I respond to,
which
it's never
isn't
Alex.
Me ever, but I will try. I will always try, and
that's,
I will continue to try.
That's appreciated.
The good news is he's in Washington on the mound against the Nationals, so it's a, you know, hopefully a, you know, nope, not bagging on the Nationals, but an easy.
Don't bag on the Nationals. They just beat your Dodgers in a set out here.
I know, and you were there.
Yes.
Kind of.
Kind of.
I won't call you out for what the kind of's for.
But the kind of is because I went for the pregame.
And then
left
he didn't stay
the
for
game
the game. Who does that? Who goes to the pregame and doesn't stay for the game?
I had caught up with some players, talked to some guys, talked to my former hitting coach is now the hitting coach for the Dodgers.
That's cool.
Talked to him, caught up with him, saw a bunch of guys. It was good.
Yeah.
And then I left, before the game started.
Yeah, kind of. Well, speaking of the Dodgers, you know what it's time for.
Oh, I know what it's time for, Alex. It is time for my favorite segment of all time. This week in Shohei Ohtani news, we're going to talk about his historic home run the other day. And honestly, his historic start at the plate to this season. Mm-hmm. So let's start with that historic home run he hit the other day. Number 175 on his career in Major League Baseball, tying Hideki Matsui for the most home runs in Major League Baseball by a Japanese-born player already in his career, which is absolutely insane. So I think by the time we're doing this segment next week, we'll be talking about him hopefully passing Hideki Matsui for the most home runs by a Japanese-born player in Major League Baseball. That's a lot to spit out all at once, but I did it twice in a row there. But honestly, this is really cool to see. He did it very early on in his Major League Baseball career, and really cool to see, and many, many more to come for Shohei. But let's not, like, Hideki Matsui was a great player in Major League Baseball, an all-time great coming out of Japan. For Shohei to already tie him is really cool.
Yeah, but when we talk about Shohei Ohtani, we're talking about a once-in-a-generational player, once-in-a-lifetime player here, right? He's not only going to break probably every Japanese player record, but he's going to be breaking some of the all-time Major League Baseball records. So this is incredible to see. It's the first of many he's going to hit throughout his career. But also, we talked about this. We knew he was going to be incredible at the plate this season because he was just focusing on his hitting, right? Normally, he is a unanimous two-time MVP for being a two-way player. And this year, he's just hitting, and it's already off to an incredible start.
It is off to an incredible start. Obviously, that milestone of a homer. But at the plate this year, I remember it wasn't so long ago, Alex. It was just about 2 weeks ago when the conversation was had of, what is Shohei starting the year a little bit slower? And even then, I was like, well, wait a second. I think he was hitting like 270 at the time. The power numbers hadn't come yet, but he was putting good swings on the ball. So my literal conversation today on this exact day of the week, 2 weeks ago, was let's pump the brakes. The guy's putting good swings on the ball. It looks like he's feeling good at the plate. And this time next week, he'll have double the RBIs and at least double the homers. And he did that. And now we have another week where he absolutely dominated at the plate. Last week, he hit .435, another homer, two RBIs, stole three bases, and a 1.114 OPS on the week. So from April 11th to April 17th, just more dominant numbers. And it got me thinking.
Yeah.
Shohei was the unanimous MVP last year again. Now, I understand a lot of that, and a big reason of the unanimous decision was because he was pitching at an elite rate for the majority of the season until he got hurt. But I was thinking, well, he had the best offensive year of his career last year, and it feels like, you know, new team, the gambling situation, the marriage, getting married. There was just so much happening.
Recovering from the major injury, non-Tommy John surgery.
Major surgery in the offseason or at the end of, offseason end of last year. Still recovering from that. New team, new location. And it still felt like, man, this guy's putting up some good numbers. Well, let me tell you about those numbers. Last year, at this time, at this exact date last year, Shohei was hitting .266 with an .825 OPS, five homers, 13 RBIs, and one stolen base. Pretty good numbers to this point. And this year, with all of those factors I just said, .360 average, a 1.040 OPS, four homers, 10 RBIs, and four stolen bases. So average, obviously, through the roof at this point. He's sixth in all of baseball in average. He's tied for first in hits. He's first in baseball in doubles. So new team, all of that. He's absolutely dominating at the plate right now. And then we talk about the stolen base numbers. I said this before the season started. Look, let's not just assume, okay, I think Shohei's going to have a good year offensively, but he's not pitching this year. So look for him to commit to doing everything he can on the offensive side. And with him not pitching, I bet he is going to steal a lot more bases this year and maybe get into the 20, 30 plus stolen base numbers. And already we're seeing him have four this year. He had one at this point last year. So he's dominating at the plate. It's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun to watch him hit right now. And that lineup with Mookie and Shohei back to back, Freddie's not even doing Freddie Freeman things right now. And that offense is honestly dominating the front half of it. They have some depth issues in that lineup right now with, you know, Chris Taylor, Gavin Lux really struggling at the back end of that lineup. But the first two guys are doing even more so what they're supposed to be doing. So he had a great season last year offensively. Career numbers this year, by and away, better so far. So already, Alex, a 1.1 WAR on the season. WAR can be a complicated stat to understand. But he's on pace as a DH, as a designated hitter, to have an 8.5 WAR season, which is absolutely remarkable. It's insane. The guy is hitting .360 on the year already, or right now, with those 10 RBIs. And let's not forget, Mookie's leading the world in pretty much everything that Shohei's not.
Yes.
Shohei would have a lot more RBIs if Mookie wasn't driving all those guys in. So historic start to his Dodgers career.
And it's just, again, like, just to remind everybody how incredible it is to see these numbers for someone who's coming off of a major injury and dealing with some crazy off-field drama, and that should not go unnoticed. We heard Dave Roberts talk about it the other day, saying you never learn about a person until they go through some adversity, whether on the field or, in this case, off the field, and I learned that he is unflappable. And it's really cool to see his personality is coming out more. We're seeing him do more interviews in English. They did some sort of, like, cleat thing. He was explaining his shoes on one of the national broadcasts this weekend. It was just, it's cool to see him come out of his shell more and not, something like this can very easily deter someone a different direction.
Yeah,
right? Absolutely. But the best of the best know how to take something bad and turn it into something great. And that's what he's doing on the field.
If there is one thing for him this year to, if you can point at and say, man, you got to get a little bit better here. I believe he's like 1 for 19 with runners in scoring position, which is typically a place that he's good at.
Mm-hmm.
So from what I've seen there, just swinging real, he's extra aggressive early in the counts with runners in scoring position. But a lot of people pointing at those numbers. Look, I will point at these season numbers. I've seen a lot of hard hit balls with runners in scoring position, some bad luck there at times. So I'm honestly not too concerned at all about those numbers. His career numbers say that'll get turned around, and his exit velocity on those balls say that it'll get turned around. So Alex, you talking there kind of reminded me of a little something that I just saw. Our own Disha Dosar wrote an article for Fox Sports. I think it was on Thursday I saw it, about sort of the absence of Ipe in the locker room for Shohei, and how it's just allowing, like, it's just really like opened up everything at every single turn, every interview, everything he did. Ipe was right by his side.
Well, the safety blanket.
And now it's more like that's filled by teammates and staff, and it's and he's, you know, doing a lot. He's doing those interviews, some of them in English if he's comfortable doing it, and doing a lot more stuff on social media. And it is just cool. And look, you, the situation sucks. It's awful. It's a friend of his that did something really wrong.
Family.
But I do think now maybe, like, hopefully over time, this can become like a little bit of like a freeing situation where you feel
lining.
Like that.
You got to find the silver lining in every bad situation. And for Ohtani, it's opening him up to his new teammates, his new franchise, everybody that he's with. And he's actually excelling even better on the field this year than he was last year, which was his unanimous MVP season. So it's, you got to find the silver lining and the positive part of every negative situation. And for Ohtani, it's off to a pretty good start.
Off to an absolutely great start.
Pretty good start.
The historic home run to tying Hideki Matsui. The great start at the plate, hitting 360. At the plate. And I hope he keeps it up. So that does it for this week in Shohei Ohtani news. A great week.
I know.
He's giving us, even though he's not pitching, keeps giving us good stuff.
But we knew that was going to happen. Like, he is like one of the most dedicated, focused players we've ever seen. Obviously, you have to be if you're going to be a two-way player, the first we've ever seen. And now it's all focused on hitting. It's going to be incredible. We're not concerned about Shohei Ohtani.
I see what you just did there.
But you know what? We are concerned about some teams as we're getting close to about a month into the season. So we're going to run through our top three most concerning teams.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get started with number three. And this one's tough because I was high on them. Ben was high on them. I had them winning the AOS. I had their star player as the MVP. But the Seattle Mariners are off to a really tough start.
Yeah, the Seattle Mariners for me were, and I would say are, I'm not going to deter from this yet, but the Seattle Mariners are and should be a playoff team.
Yeah.
With that rotation that they have. With Julio in the lineup, I see the Seattle Mariners as a force, not only in the division in the AOS, but if they get into the playoffs, they are a force to be reckoned with those pitchers. Well, here we are on April 19th, and that rotation isn't very good. You have Luis Castillo, who was a pretty popular AL Cy Young pick with a 5.82 ERA. You have George Kirby with a 6.64 ERA. You have Emerson Hancock with an ERA over 5. So that's three starting pitchers with an ERA over 5.75. Three guys you're turning to every fifth day at this point. So it's just something that it's really confusing to me because that's the rotation is the reason that I picked them to have such a successful year and to get into the playoffs and to be able to do damage. That is the reason. But another one is because I thought this team is going to be carried by Julio Rodriguez this year, who I think is going to have a fantastic year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to this point, disappointing. 219 batting average, zero home runs on the year, a five RBIs and a 0.524 OPS. So look, Julio has always been a guy that seemingly gets off to a little bit slower of a start and then goes unconscious for like a month, and then his numbers get right back to where they need to be.
Yeah.
But that's just not happening. So no. You have the rotation that's really struggling. Only two guys have put together a somewhat decent year. Bryce Miller's out there throwing well, but and then you have Julio really struggling, and this offense isn't good enough to sustain. If pitchers are giving up six runs an outing, or if the Mariners are giving up six runs,
yeah.
The team batting average is ranked 26th out of 30. They have a team batting average of 213. So you have Julio hitting 219, and that's above the team average.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see where the offense is going to come from. I was never a big believer in this offense. I did like the addition of Jorge Polanco. I do like Cal Raleigh behind the plate as well. I think he's one of the best, the better hitting catchers in the game of baseball. But Mitch Garver, a new addition there, DH for them, hasn't been playing very well. Really, nobody is. So you pair bad pitching with bad hitting, and what you get is a team that's playing really bad. Now, they did just sweep the Cincinnati Reds,
mm-hmm.
and they are coming off of, or they're still in the midst of seven consecutive quality starts. So is this the beginning of the Mariners starting to turn it around? I don't know. But as of right now, I am still a bit concerned because you have Luis Castillo and George Kirby, who are both supposed to be in the Cy Young conversation, not doing very well and being on the opposite end of that conversation. So Mariners are number three on my list of top three most concerning teams.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, I mean, the Mariners are only going to go as far as Julio Rodriguez goes. The good news is, I guess that's good news, but the AL West is kind of off to an interesting start. The Rangers are crushing it right now. We've got the Angels in second. Mariners are right in the middle. So it's early. There's a shot, but Julio's been playing great defense, but he's got to lead by example with his bat. He's got to turn it around.
There's a shot. There's a shot with all of these teams. Again, it is April 19th, and I'm not going to put a team on here like the Chicago White Sox, who are currently on a pace to go 20-142 on the season. So they're not going to be on my list of concerned teams, because am I concerned about the White Sox? No, I could care less about the Chicago White Sox this year. It's an embarrassment of an organization, and they're not going to be on this list. But seriously, on a pace for 20-142. Think about that. But not for long, because it'll just annoy you.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Okay, yeah. Let's move to the AL Central. Our number two most concerning team is the Minnesota Twins, because nothing is coming easy for them this season.
Yeah,
nothing.
The Twins are 6-11. Now, I'm concerned about the Twins for multiple different reasons. One of those reasons, and maybe the most important, is injuries.
Yeah.
You have Royce Lewis, who started the year, first game of the year, was on an absolute tear, hit a homer in his first at-bat. The guy, when healthy, this is big because he hasn't been healthy often, but when Royce Lewis is healthy and playing, he has been one of the best players in all of the game of baseball. The guy just unfortunately can't stay on the field, and he has one of the best attitudes I have ever seen about it, and I hope he comes back very, very soon. But you have Royce Lewis on the IL. You have Carlos Correa on the IL. You have Max Kepler on the IL, who's hopefully coming back soon. But when you talk about this Twins team, and if you're ever to get excited about this Twins team, it's what is there to be excited about? And you would point to, oh, man, Royce Lewis, mm-hmm. Carlos Correa at shortstop, Max Kepler, big left-handed back and can swing it. Those are three of probably five names, if you mention the Minnesota Twins, that you're excited about. And all three of those guys are on the IL. So the first reason I'm concerned is injuries. And I'm always, these guys, oft, especially Correa and Royce Lewis, the concerns with them are injuries. So injury concerns right now, obviously, but all year long with this Twins team, and they have shown so far with a record of 6-11 that they can't sustain their best guys being injured, even with a pitching staff that's supposed to be pretty good, which leads to my concern number two.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
No.
The pitching staff is not good. They have two starting pitchers with an ERA under 4, Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan. Other than that, everybody else, over an ERA of 4. That's not very sustainable to winning baseball games. You need your team, you need your starting pitcher ERAs to be under 4 is optimal, but right now they only have 2 guys with that. So that's another level of concern. And lastly for me, why I really like this Twins team this year to get to the playoffs is because, well, I was pretty low on the AL Central. Mm-hmm. Another, you can see the stat right here at the bottom of the screen. Their offense that has Correa and Royce Lewis and Kepler on the IL, as I said, they're not able to sustain that. They've shown that. Their offense ranks 30th
in
batting average, 0.193. For those keeping track at home, there are 30 teams in Major League Baseball. They rank
the lowest
dead
average.
Last. DFL, Alex.
What's that?
DFL.
Don't make me guess.
I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
But just
okay.
Dead last.
Oh.
What's the F?
Got it. You cool, got cool, it. Cool, cool,
They're
cool.
They're DFL
cool.
In terms of that.
It's also like not a good sign when you hear your manager sound a little hopeless. Like he was quoted recently saying, it feels like no matter what you try, nothing is smooth. Nothing is working like you want it. It's tough to play a game with confidence. And with anything, when it's so difficult, even when we're doing things well, we're not getting the results. Like that feels like a deflated, defeated leader. And when you have that energy and that vibe, not only like in the dugout, in the clubhouse, on the field, but your leader, your manager is saying these things. It's really hard to turn things around. You have to change your mindset first before you start to see the results on the field. You have to believe you can do it. And then the results will come. Like it's just everything feels off.
Yeah.
Everything feels off with this team.
There's nobody hitting. The only two guys that were hitting are Carlos Correa and Royce Lewis. Carlos Correa was hitting, I think, 303, over 300. Royce Lewis was hitting like 1,000, but he got hit in the first, got hurt in the first
so
game of the year.
So unfortunate.
Buxton, 190. Edward Julian, who I really like, 170-something. It ain't good. The offense has been bad, and they are dead last in terms of team batting average. The last point why I am concerned about this team, I was high on them to make the playoffs because I thought they could easily run away with the AL Central, which was admittedly a pretty bad division. Well, guess what? Look at those standings now.
Yeah.
This is a bit of a surprise, but you got the Guardians sitting there at 13-6. You got the Royals, who I was at least high on to turn around their 100-plus loss season last year. I knew they'd be a lot better. Did I have the Royals at 12-7 to start the year? No, you got the Tigers at 10-9. So all of a sudden you look up in this easy-to-win division with some weak talent around a talented team has become, well, you guys really put yourself in a hole, and these other teams that you were expecting to not be too much over 500 on the year are really out of the gates hot. The Guardians have been really, really impressive. So, man, to say I'm concerned about the Twins, they are lucky they're not number one on this list of teams that I am most concerned about.
Just to, you know, put a little cherry on top of how concerned you should be, only once in club history have the Twins started 6-11 and finished the season above 500.
Well,
not a good sign.
No time like the present.
Turn things around. All right. Now for our number one team here. Now, I said I was going to ask you in a couple weeks if we should be concerned and worried about the Astros. And now, Ben, they are number one on teams you should be concerned about.
Yeah, their start is concerning, to say the least. Let me be very clear about the Houston Astros. Do I believe still that the Astros can make the playoffs? I do. And as we sit here today with them having a record of 6-14, they are still the odds-on favorite to win the AL West. So though I can sit here and say, relax, chill, it'll all be fine. It is embarrassing what is happening there in Houston with the pitching, with the bullpen. The offense ranks one of the best in baseball. They are third in all of baseball in batting average. That is how bad the pitching has been. Their starters have an ERA of 5.05, 27th out of 30 teams. Awful. Not just the starters. You talk about the full team ERA, 29th out of 30 in team ERA in all of baseball. They have an ERA of 6.62 from the eighth inning on, which is the worst in baseball. It is ridiculous what is happening there. It is embarrassing to watch. It doesn't look like they're playing with much swag, with much, hey, we've gone to seven straight ALCS appearances. It is time to turn it around. They are way too talented to be playing like this. The offense has been playing well. My one point on the offense is they need to figure out what the hell to do with Jose Abreu. I don't often call out players. I don't like to call out players, and I'm not really calling out Jose Abreu in particular. But in this situation, when you have a player like Jose Abreu who isn't hitting his weight this year, maybe not even half of his weight, you have to be able to look in the mirror and say, we need to do something different here. You're paying Jose Abreu like $19 million to be a productive first baseman this year and to put up some offensive numbers, and he's hitting like 100. You got to figure it out, and you need more than just your manager going up there at the end of the game saying, why do I believe in him? Well, I believe in him because the back of his baseball card tells me to. There's nobody that's going to sit here and argue that Jose Abreu hasn't had a fantastic Major League Baseball career, but this game is a what have you done for me lately sport. And what have you done for me lately, Jose Abreu? It's not good enough to get in the starting lineup. It's not good to come up in clutch situations. And they didn't address that. He didn't put together a good year last year. The writing was on the wall that Jose Abreu was starting to regress. He's getting a bit older. They paid him a good amount of money to come in and still be productive. Last year really showed that he's not that guy. And now this year, it's like you're continuing to rely on that guy to produce in big situations, and he's just not able to do it. So they have a first base problem. They don't have an offense problem. The offense is fine. Again, third in batting average in all of baseball. A little bit worse, a little bit below average with runners in scoring position. 17th in all of baseball. But it's tough to watch. And you can see right here, if you're watching, you can see Jose Abreu's Baseball Savant page. It's a lot of blue.
It's a lot of blue.
A lot of blue. Everything is below league average. He is worst in baseball, and there's a lot of advanced stats here, but worst in baseball in ex-WOBA, worst in baseball in expected batting average, expected slugging, expected barrel rate, worst in baseball in all of those. So, look, do I think the Astros are going to be fine? I can still sit here and say yes, despite Alex wanting to sit over there and say, this whole time, I heard it. I do believe they will be fine. And again, they are still the odds-on favorite to win the AL West. Nobody's running away with that division. But am I concerned? From what I have seen to this point, I would say it is a very concerning start to the year. Not because I don't believe in the team and the talent that they have, but it just feels different. And it's downright embarrassing right now watching the Houston Astros.
I mean, they're currently in last place in the AL West. And yeah, the Rangers can definitely run away with this division. They're the defending World Series champions. The Oakland A's are above the Astros right now. They just got swept by the Braves. They just got swept by KC last week. Now, we heard, obviously, different sport here, but we heard Steve Kerr, the head coach of Dynasty Warriors, recently say this week, you don't stay on top forever. And you can kind of start to feel the beginning of the end of some of these great teams, these great cores together. We knew that pitching was going to be the Astros' Achilles heel when we talked about this before the season started with the injury, kind of as the first few weeks happened, we were starting to see more. Yes, your brother's back on the mound tonight, and that's a positive. But there is a point where, you do have to be concerned. Is this the beginning of the end of kind of their reign in the American League?
Well, what I would say, because I heard this from the very beginning, you started talking and then realized I got a point and stopped listening to the rest of it. But just full
Thanks
disclosure.
Thanks for the honesty.
Full disclosure. I didn't hear most of the end of it. But what I did hear is you said the Rangers are capable of running away with it. That's what I said is nobody has run away with this division. The Rangers, after winning on Thursday, are 11-9. Nobody's 20-0 in the division. Nobody's 15-5. They're 11-9. They're barely over 500. The Astros are five games out of first place in the AL West. So Are the Rangers capable of running away with the division? Sure, they're very talented. Are the Astros capable of rattling off 5-10 games in a row? They certainly are capable of doing that. So we are at a date of April 19th. Again, they are at number one on my list because it has been an abysmal start to the year. There are some concerning things to me. The pitching is bad. Justin comes back tonight. Framber's around the corner from coming back. The back end of the bullpen will be better. I can promise you that. The eighth inning on, they won't have a 6.68 ERA all season long. I'm not sitting here defending the Houston Astros, but what I'm saying is from the beginning of the season, opening day to April 19th, the Astros have been the most concerning team to me. And I still sit here today and say that they will make the playoffs. And we're now a week later, and they've only played worse. And I'll ask you again, do you want to make the bet that the Astros make the playoffs?
I mean, two of the teams on here, on this concerning list, I had making the playoffs. So I'm not ready to make that bet yet. But what I am going to do, since you openly admitted that you didn't hear the rest of what I said, I will just give you the quote once again from the great Steve Kerr.
I heard the Steve Kerr.
You don't stay on top forever. And it kind of feels like this might be the beginning of the end for the Astros' reign.
Okay. My one point to that is, why does it feel like that? Because they're 6-14 on April 19th.
It you feels said like it their doesn't reign. Feel like there's any, there isn't that like, What's the word you used? Like energy, that vibe that they haven't been, there hasn't been that like umph from them on there. It doesn't feel
so
like
far
the Astros of the past. Okay, fine. Well, I got a question for you. Okay. Because you got three on
I'm
here.
I'm listening.
Good. There's another team that we were very high on to start the season that isn't off to the greatest start. So should the Reds, who are at 9-9 right now, also be on this list? Because we both picked them to win the NL Central.
The Reds were certainly a
fringe.
The Reds are 4 or 5, if we're going to be honest. But why are they not top three? Well, there's a few reasons for that. One, I was very high on their rotation. That's why I did believe and do believe that they can win the NL Central. The rotation has pretty much underperformed, I would say. They only have one starting pitcher other than Nick Lodolo that has an ERA under 4. Lodolo did come back and has made one start, struck out 10 guys in under 6 innings. So Andrew Abbott's the only one with an ERA under 4. So the reason that I don't have them as a top three is because they are sitting here as a 500 team with so many guys underperforming.
Yeah.
You got Jonathan India, Jamer Candelario, and Christian Encarnacion Strand hitting under 200 on the year. You have your entire rotation, other than Andrew Abbott, with an ERA over 4. And despite all of that, you have the Cincinnati Reds as a 500 team. You have the Cincinnati Reds 2.5 games out of first place. I mean, that's honestly reason for optimism. So wait, this team that has a lot of potential so far through the first, 3 weeks of the season has vastly underperformed, and we're sitting here at a 500 team. If I'm a Reds fan, I'm thinking a couple things. One, man, our big offseason acquisition for offense was Jamer Candelario, and that guy, I am a bit concerned about him. Is Jonathan India dealing with something? He started off the year really well, got hit, and then hasn't been the same since. There are a few concerns there. Are we ever going to stay healthy? Are we ever going to have some injury luck? Because that's gone completely against us. But there's a lot of reason for optimism. I don't think CES is going to hit 190-something all year long. In fact, he finally started to heat up a little bit, and then he's been out of the lineup for a couple of days with a sickness. Jonathan India, I think he'll turn it around. The rotation absolutely will. We're 2.5 games out of first place, and Ellie De La Cruz is an absolute superstar. So there are reasons, a lot more reasons than concerns for me with the Reds. And if you look up at the standings at the end of the day, they're right there in the thick of things. They're a 500 baseball team. And what I believe they can be, they've really not even come close to scratching the surface as of yet. So I did not have them in the top three. they probably would have been in a top five just because we are both so high on them this year that do I think they're a 500 baseball team? I don't. But there is, you know, reasons you can point to and reason for optimism moving forward.
Okay. Let's switch the energy here. Instead of focusing on, you know, teams that we're worried about and struggling, it is time for our flippin' shout-outs, which means we are either going to shout out a team or a player that may not be getting as much hype as they should. Ben, who is your flippin' shout-out?
Mine is a team that is getting a lot of hype, but maybe not as much as they should be. Still, and that is the Baltimore Orioles. The vibes there are high.
Yeah, they are.
I'm rocking the Birdland shirt, as you can see it here. You remember last year?
Oh, that's what that was.
Showed up in those outfits?
It's Black Flag. That's like that's the band it's like vibing after.
I don't know what that means, but I do know it's an Orioles
band.
A what band?
Don't worry about it. I'll explain to you later.
Okay. Well, the Orioles deserve more credit than they're even getting. They lead all of baseball in home runs. They have hit three or more homers in five straight games, which this is quite the stat. Ties for the second longest streak for any team since 1900. That's what they're currently in the midst of. Only one other team has done more, and that was the Baltimore Orioles in 1987. They had six straight. So they're one game away from doing that. They have seven games of three-plus homers, which is the most in all of baseball. You have everybody besides Jackson Holliday, who's going to turn it around. The kid has just gotten called up and all the hype in the world on his shoulders. It's been everybody else stepping up. Jordan Westberg, Colton Cowser, Adley Rutschman. Colton Cowser out there as a rookie getting 10 RBIs in a three-game series at Fenway. He's the first Oriole or Baltimore Brown, might I add, player with 10-plus RBIs in a series at Fenway since Chet Labs in 1941. So this team, Gunnar Henderson out there hitting homers, this rocking mustaches, this team, it's all the vibes for me. They got great mustaches. They have great vibes. They got the dong bong. You got Cedric Mullins hitting walk-off home runs, rounding the bases. They brought the dong bong out to home plate. He celebrated at home. They call it the hydration station. They went away from the name dong bong. I'm not doing it.
Please stop.
It is, Alex. It's the dong bong. And Cedric Mullins got it at home plate. Cedric Mullins got the dong.
Unwell. Okay.
Yeah. The vibes are immaculate. Alex is in tears. That's why I'm shouting out this team. They are so much fun. They have that left field area with the sprinkler system going
You're
on.
You're like, where's my invite? Come on. Bath. Why haven't you brought me out here? I'm your biggest fan. I've been hyping you guys the last 2 years. Someone needs to get Ben to the bird bath.
I have to.
And the dong bong.
It's just, it's...
Yeah.
There goes Alex.
No, we're well. We're back.
So, vibes immaculate. The team's raking. Jackson Holliday, I am still very excited about him and his career. Once he gets going, he's going to be a star. His team is only going to get better. They only have even more talent down in the minor leagues. So, the Baltimore Orioles are my shout-out. Shout-out to the Orioles, the mustaches, and the dong bongs. Go Orioles. Please, Alex, what do you got?
Why are you going to do me like that? Why are you going to start it? Okay. My shout-out, Yankees shortstop, Anthony Volpe. Now, he was the Yankees' exciting new face last season that got all the attention. And we kept hearing, can he be the next Derek Jeter, right? Which is a lot to live up to. And he didn't get that start everybody expected right out of the gates. He did end up winning a gold glove. But with that year under his belt, and now I think with Juan Soto maybe taking some of the attention away this season, he has been exactly what this Yankees team needed and expected out of him out of the gates last year. Offensively, he's doing great. He's batting .324. He's got two home runs, eight RBI, six stolen bases, an .881 OPS. Defensively, he's already making great plays, showing off his gold glove skills. We saw him secure the Yankees win on Wednesday with that great diving play and throw. I mean, you love to see something like this. The hometown kid living up to the hype and helping the Yankees be that number one spot in the AL East. So, let's go.
Yeah, bad. disappointing year for him last year.
Yeah.
And to this point, you can see the stats there. He's hitting .324, two homers already, an OPS of .881, six stolen bases on the year. I told you, I went out to Dodger Stadium and talked to a bunch of the guys out there. My former hitting coach before my last year was a guy named Craig Wallenbrock, who his like understudy is the now Dodgers hitting coach, Robert Van Skoyak. Talked to him out there, and we talked about Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe went to Craig Wallenbrock this offseason.
Your hitting coach?
Yeah. Who's also, he was like the like father of launch angle, basically. He's the one that changed JD Martinez's swing.
He's who you go to if you need adjustments.
He's the guy. He is the hit doctor. And Anthony Volpe went to him this offseason, changed his swing around a little bit, and now is off to an incredible start to the year. Really cool to see.
Yeah.
Really cool. I was very, very high on Anthony Volpe coming up and just never got that momentum going last year. Never got that confidence going into coming into this year. And now he's at the top of that lineup and right where he should be. So yeah, I love that. I love the start to the year he's having. Yankees are playing great. He's at the top of the lineup. DJ LeMahieu's coming back soon-ish from injury, and he ain't going to slot in at the top of that lineup.
Not if he keeps hitting like this.
Yeah. So
can't do that.
Yeah. So I like that.
Yeah.
The Orioles and Anthony Volpe.
Woo!
And the dong bong. Stop. That does it for today's episode. We will be back tomorrow. Saturday with Smoltz is tomorrow. Another good conversation with him. Last week, we talked all about the Tommy John injuries in baseball and why that's happening and had a really good conversation there. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the how. How do we fix it? What to do going forward? Alex is still losing it over there. So make sure you check out Saturday with Smoltz. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple or Spotify. You can also watch on Spotify, on YouTube as well, at Flippin' Bats Pod there. And follow us on TikTok. We want 100,000 followers. We're getting closer. We're almost at 90,000 followers now. So follow us there. It really helps and definitely helps when you subscribe. So thank you all for listening.
When we get there, Ben will do the dong bong.
Okay. Alex has been waiting all episode to throw that in. She got it. Now she's going to lose it for a little while. That does it. Until tomorrow, my friends, thank you all for listening. We will see you then. Remember, find your bat and flip it.